Yeah, and for us too, obviously we have, and I'm no social media expert by any means, so it's, I go on there, I do all of our Facebook stuff, and I try to do something at least once a day. And it's kind of interesting because we come out on Thursdays. Once in a while, I'll put out, it's more like a push for me. I'm just pushing like an article that we wrote about in the last week and just trying to drive traffic to the site because we spike on a Thursday. So I'm just trying to like see if we can spread it out a little bit throughout the week. Or maybe people miss the email on Thursday and they haven't gotten back to it. And so I'll push an article. But we do do some engagement too. Like you said, if you dive into the engagement thing, obviously then you've got to manage that those conversations.
Right, you have to watch
discussions.
It.
I think... Yeah, this push for engagement in social media, I'm going to be the one person to say that I think it's a little overblown. I think that, if you have the resources to devote full-time people to handle engagement on your social media site, then go for it. But for most people, like, is that really a place to invest your money? I don't know. Definitely to
That's
show
true.
Personality.
I think how do you measure that? You know, how do you put a value on that? I don't know. You know,
big brands like M&M, you know, and they're engaging. That's cool and everything. But like, you know, for us, like, you know, we're bare bones staff. Like, is that an area we invest? In fact, I've really pulled back on Twitter. I constantly look at our Google Analytics to see where our traffic is coming from. And I did a lot of I did Facebook and Twitter almost identically the same. It was all, I almost did the exact same post.
Sure.
And the traffic from Facebook was something like 15 times more than traffic from Twitter.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like, do I invest the time in Twitter to do updates and posts on there? Because it didn't really seem to be that anybody was either reading or engaging with it. So it kind of became, it's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit on the Twitter side. Because like I said, Facebook is like 28th Street. It's where everybody is.
Right.
You just can't be. And Facebook is like our number three referrer to our website.
Okay.
It's like
our
newsletter, Google, and Facebook. And it's organic referral. So it's other people posting our articles on
their
Facebook page.
That's the other thing. You know, if you get people sharing what you have, I think that really, you know, helps drive things in a great way where, you know, potentially something goes viral.
Yeah. And we have built into ours, like every article has share this built into it so that people can share it wherever they want or they can forward it. The email, so it's really easy to like, and that's elementary stuff for any online.
We do the same thing, pretty much drive traffic to our site with our social media, Facebook being the primary one. And driving traffic to our website also means our print edition is also available there, an electronic version in its entirety. So we want people to go check that out, to download it, keep it, search the archives, you know. Magazines are online for a couple years even, so.
One thing I find that gets a lot of reach on Facebook, and you know this, Paul, is pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing related to any of our articles. You post, you know, if you post a good picture, the reach on those is huge, and the number of likes you get and feedback.
Yeah, we try to do a lot of pictures, and a lot of times we'll just go out and it'll be, you know, our advertiser, but it's good pictures. I mean, it's like we stopped at Kingman's Market and took pictures of the flowers and the blueberries that are in season and some of the people that are shopping, including a lady who looked like she was about 80 years old that had a six-pack of Dirty Bastard.
Sweet.
In her shopping cart and, you know, asking her, you know.
Did you tag Paul in that picture?
No, but I will. I will.
Maybe she'll adopt me.
I just thought it was so cute, you know. And, you know, just getting out in the community and being able to share those faces and letting people know these are the people you're doing business with. These are the faces. This is what they do. This is what they do to make their stores, their shops look good for you. And when you walk in, you'll know who they are. These are local. You know, I'm a big proponent of local first. Which doesn't necessarily mean local only, but look at, you know, doing business locally first. And it's the whole reason I even started the magazine was so that local businesses could have a place to be able to promote themselves, local stores, furniture stores, boutiques, that at that time, and we're talking 14 years ago now, there was no internet. It's hard to imagine, but there was no Facebook. There was no online. And so
it wasn't anything like it is now.
No.
Hard to believe we survived.
I think, it was AOL.
Oh, God, no, Paul and I were the first, like, AOL people.
Yeah, remember,
I think we signed on before they called it AOL, wasn't it?
Well, it was pretty early.
And the feeling of elation when you got a connection, you know, and it was, you could hear it connecting, and then it would connect, you're like, oh.
You've got your modem, you know, 14.4, then it was a 28.8, then a 56. Well, you're really trucking along there, you know. But, yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, with the whole early online days, and that kind of goes back to, you know, you and I being over at Music Review in the early 90s. And first you were, you know, doing sales, and then you were doing graphic work. What made you decide to want to do your own publication?
Well, at that time, I was looking at something that was involved positive news, probably the early idea of rapid growth or something back then, but I wanted to do maybe a weekly thing that was focused on positive, upbeat news and do things that, and I guess there were something that there was a lot of community collaboration where we could find out more about not just negative news, good stuff.
Right.
And so as I explored that, I found out that, you know, some of the harsh realities were it's very, very, very expensive to put publications together.
Right.
But while I was doing my research on it, I signed up for some classes at Grand Rapids Opportunities for Women. It's kind of a crash course in entrepreneurship. And I did a lot of research on what's needed in media. Where are the gaps? Who needs to be able to reach a bigger audience and why and all those sorts of things. And I kept discovering that newspapers were having a really hard time reaching women. And then I went into exploring some of the reasons why. Well, the biggest explanation I got was the industry was saying women don't have time to read. And I just threw up my hands and I go, wait a minute. Every woman I know is reading something. And I mean, always reading something. We have our magazines, we have our books, we're always reading. But reading what we want to read about could be...
Challenge that.
I know. And so, but this was before online, you know. And I kind of looked at what some of the content were that they were talking about. And women, I'm doing the stereotypical thing here, but we have, we want to read about things that involve our lives, our community, our families, and that sort of thing, too. And a lot of the mainstream newspapers weren't providing that so much. Not at least not on the front pages or anything. Maybe you could dig for it and read Ann Landers or something along those lines.
So you saw a need and you filled that need.
Yeah, there was definitely a need. And so to fill that need was kind of easy to think, hey, what about doing a women's magazine that has a local focus? A women's magazine for our community. There's you go to the newspaper racks and there's millions, well, maybe not millions, but lots and lots of women's publications. You know, there were there were Glamour and Red Book and Cosmo and you name it. There's just Women's Day. I mean, tons and tons of them. And you think, okay, women love reading magazines. Why wouldn't we do it on a local level? And so I did a lot of research, went around meeting with people. I stood in the newspaper aisles in the magazine aisles at the stores that let me with my clipboard looking official and asked people what they were reading and what they wanted to read about, mostly women. And then I went around to the stores and asked them, okay, if I put something like this together, would you be interested in advertising in it? Would you partner with me on these things? Oh, sure. So it took me about 2 years to actually put the whole plan together and then went back to the people to talk about advertising with me. And the, one of the responses, main response I got was, well, we don't advertise in new stuff. You got to be around a while. So then you have that first, you know, you come out of the box, you got to prove yourself.
You get that early resistance.
You got to prove yourself. And it kind of goes back to, you know, seeing so many different publications and different media sources now come and go. People want to see you prove yourself.
Well, it's interesting, too, you bring up about women reading. Most of our readers are women. We did a demographic survey a little over a year ago, and our reader, it was like 58% women to 42% men.
Wow.
And it's interesting because feedback I get from a lot of women is most business sections and business journals don't really seem to be geared to them. Like they're heavy analytics, their stock market reports, their investor relations type stuff. And they're like, I don't really want to read that stuff. And we've a lot of the feedback we get is from a lot of women saying they love reading Rapid Growth because it's a business publication, but it sort of like we call it right brain business news.
There's, okay.
It has more of the aspects that you would find in like I said, I'm not trying to be stereotypical, Victoria.
Well, it's positive and it's upbeat and it's practical.
Yeah, and there's the it's very usable. We give a lot of real estate to photographs and there's a lot of great photography in it and that sort of appeals more to the female demographic that we found. So it's kind of interesting. And we started, and similar to that, we started Rapid Growth started right when there was a big, huge boom going on in Grand Rapids. You remember when all the tower cranes were up, and there were seven or eight of them up on, you know, Medical Mile and what was going on with the JW Marriott and all these different things. It was really a great time to start focusing on that. And East Hills and Wealthy Street and all that was starting to take off. So it was really a great way to. And what happens is when we write about that stuff, people read it and we get feedback, the feedback loop from all over the country, people outside this area saying, wow, it looks like Grand Rapids is a great place to start a business. Where do you, you know, they'll ask us, where do you think we should go or what kind of business should I start or something like that. So it sort of feeds that. That momentum of, hey, this is a great place to come to and do business.
Well, and you've got, you both have a great ringside seat to see all these things going on in the city and to share that with your audience.
Yeah. You know, somebody asked me one time, they said, you know, pretty soon there's going to have to be a men's edition because women are taking over, you know, media as far as they're the top demographic for all of these different things. And I was like, well, that's kind of an interesting concept, you know.
A men's version.
Yeah, men's, a men's, yeah, something that.
I think you might be onto something. That, and somebody came to me and pitched
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know anything about that. So.
I wouldn't either. You'd have to get some of the fashionistas in town, I think, because you'd have to do like men's fashion. You'd have to do design. You'd have to do high design. Think about like some of the guys you know on Pinterest, Paul, that a lot of the stuff they post is like designs of watches and homes and cars and clothing and that kind of. If you could turn that into some kind of magazine, I think you might have
use
something.
Bullet points a lot.
Yeah, bullet points. You must bullet point every article. The other idea that was pitched to me was like a faith magazine that was interfaith for West Michigan. And I thought, I don't know how you would get any kind of even somewhat close to consensus on what you
Boy, that could be a tough
article.
One. That would
it
be
would
tough.
Be because it's hard to find even two Christians who believe the same thing in the same room. So I don't know how you would, how it would work. But if you could figure out how to make it work, I think you'd have a lot of opportunity for to bring in some sponsors and stuff. There's obviously a lot of that money
a lot of
around.
Churches and that sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do.
I know. The place would get torched or burned down or something. Who knows what happened to it.
This is Paul Jędrzejczyk for Sunday Morning Town Square. We've been chatting about print and digital media. I've been joined in the studio by Jeff Hill. Jeff is the publisher of Rapid Growth Media. You can check him out online at rapidgrowthmedia.com. And Victoria Upton, she's the publisher of Women's Lifestyle Magazine. You can check him out at womenslifestyle.com. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Hey, this was great. Paul. You mean this interview's over now or we're out of here? Yeah. Oh, this was fun.
Hey, I had a blast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us, Paul.